This story is how I learned how to hear God's voice. I got saved when I was 15 years of age in a very conservative, a very good, solid Bible-believing church. And they put within me a very deep hunger to become a biblical man. So I began to read through the Bible, and I noticed people in the Bible could hear the voice of God. If you've noticed that, would you say amen? So I said, I think I should try that. How many believe the Bible should be tried, not just read? Amen? So I got down on my knees and I asked God to speak to me. I'm expecting something like a Damascus Road experience, you know, like thunder in the sky, you know, and a booming bass voice. Hello, Mark, this is God. And I would salute, come to attention, say, yes, sir, and whatever he said I would do. So I'm listening for this booming bass voice, and guess what I heard? Nothing. I thought, well, that didn't work. And how many know this is actually supposed to work? Amen? So I figured, well, I must be doing something wrong. So I thought, well, maybe if I just read more scripture, that'll solve it. So I read through the New Testament. It takes a day and a half to read through the New Testament. And I said, God, please speak to me. I went to my prayer time, asked God to speak. I'm listening. Guess what I heard? Nothing. I thought, well, that's disgusting. That still didn't work. I mean, I love the Bible, and I just read through the New Testament, and I got a hunger for God, and I'm still not hearing a voice. I said, well, maybe if I fast, because the Bible says if you pray and fast, God turns your gloom into noonday sun. He continually guides your feet, and I'm looking for guidance. I'm looking for revelation. So I'd fast for a day, or I'd fast for a week, or I'd fast for lots of weeks, and I was actually skinny back then. It was a great period of my life. And when I got alone to hear the voice of God, guess what I heard? Yeah, just my stomach rumbling. These are the four keys. We're going to spend the whole weekend just expanding these four keys, all right? Key number one is to do what? Just tell me what it is. Quiet myself down. Key number two is to look for vision. Key number three is to tune to spontaneity. Recognize God's voice as spontaneous thoughts. And key number four is to journal it out. Now, we can make this really simple, just four simple words so it doesn't get complex. First word would be stillness. Let's say it together. Stillness. Second word would be vision. Let's say it together. Vision. Third word is spontaneity. Let's say it together. Spontaneity. And the fourth word is journaling. Let's say it together. Journaling. All right, let's say all four words. Stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. One more time. Stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. Now there's hand motions. Get your hands ready. Here we go. Ready? Stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. One more time together with the hand motions. Here we go. Stillness, vision, spontaneity, and journaling. Page 3 in your seminar guides, Christian Spirit Encounter, is very different from New Age Spirit Encounter. New Agers have different foundations than we have. They have different goals than we have. They have different processes than we have. And so let's take a look at some of the differences. My foundation, our foundation, will always be the Bible. So whenever I've journaled and I've got a vision, I'm going to come back to the Bible. I'm going to ask a question. What question do you think would be a good question to ask when you come back to the Bible? You would ask what? I'm listening. You'd ask what? All right, I come back to the Bible with my journaling. I can ask one or two questions. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Or I could ask, does it line up with biblical principles? Both of those questions would be possible. I don't ask if it's in the Bible. I ask, does it line up with biblical principle? Because I believe there's a lot of truth that God knows that he didn't necessarily put in the Bible. But whatever he knows is not in the Bible will line up with what is already there in the Bible. If that works, say amen. All right. Jesus said, I've got things to share with you, but you're unable to bear them now. And so Jesus was very clear to say, I know more things than I'm telling you, but I can't tell them to you because you can't handle it. So look, when there comes a day that I could handle it, there's more things Jesus would be glad to say to us. If you know that's in the Bible, would you say amen? Amen. Now, some people don't like that, and some people say, now look, if you can't show it to me in the Bible, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to teach you in a few minutes on left and right hemisphere brain functions. Some people raise their hand and say, Mark, show me where that's in the Bible. I say, it's not in the Bible anyplace, but I believe it's compatible with biblical principle. They say, well, if you can't show it to me in the Bible, I'm not going to accept it. And I say, well, That's not my hermeneutic. My hermeneutic, my rule for interpreting scripture, does not mean make me believe that everything I believe must be in the Bible. It's just got to be compatible with biblical principle. If you're hearing the difference, say amen. And that person says, well, you know what? I don't accept your position. I say, well, you know what? You don't even believe your position. I say, you don't by any chance send your kids to Sunday school, do you? And he said, well, of course. I say, well, where is that in the Bible? Is Sunday school in the Bible? Anywhere? No. You don't by any chance send your kids to public school, do you? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, where is that in the Bible? That you would send your kids to a government-run school and they would raise them for you. What? That's nowhere. And I said, you don't by any chance believe in the Trinity, do you? And he said, well, of course. I said, well, the word Trinity is not in the Bible either. You know, so I said, don't push it on me. Don't tell me that everything I believe has got to be in the Bible because you don't even believe that yourself. Now, if you're following me, say amen. You need to know where you stand, because if you don't know where you stand, people will push you around. Next point, biblical safeguards for hearing God's voice. Five things are listed here. Why don't you check each one of these five if you have them? We'd like you to be safe because Satan is out there trying to deceive and we don't want you messed up. Number one, we recommend that you're a born-again Christian, all right, if you're going to journal. We're not saying that non-Christians can't hear the voice of God, because how many know the Bible is full of non-Christians hearing the voice of God? Nebuchadnezzar, he was a non-Christian. He got dreams from God. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he got seven lean cows, seven fat cows in dreams. You know, we're not saying non-Christians can't hear God's voice. How many know the thing that got you and I saved was the voice of God? So there's no way that we could possibly say a Christian can't hear the voice of God. Christians can hear the voice of God. Non-Christians can hear the voice of God. Did I say Christians? There's no way that we're saying that non-Christians can't hear the voice of God. All right. All can hear the voice of God. All right, number two, we accept the Bible as the inerrant word of God. It doesn't have mistakes in it. If you believe that, would you say amen? That's what I believe. Number three, we demonstrate our love and respect for the Bible by reading it through and through and through. Number four, have an attitude of submission to what God is showing you from the Bible. So when you need to repent, you repent and say, God, I'm sorry. And how many know it's best to repent within seconds after you sin? You know, why drag out the misery for 3 months, you know, or 3 hours or 3 days? Just get on your knees and repent. It's so much easier that way. Number five, you have two or three spiritual advisors that you are submitting your life to on a regular basis.